This interview with Microsoft's developer evangelist, Mr. Michael Cordai, was recorded at the Crown Metropole in South Melbourne on Thursday, the 16th of September, 2010. Michael, it's an exciting time for Microsoft. I felt a disturbance in the force this morning about 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Melbourne time. Tell us what happened.
A disturbance in the force? That was me arising this morning. So I don't know, what time was it our time this morning when in San Fran we actually announced the public release of the IE9 beta, which means that everyone now can go to beautyoftheweb.com and download the beta of IE9. And this isn't the preview that we saw a little while ago. This is the full metal. This is what you're going to see, and this is what you can use on top of your OS. And it's a full browser.
Very exciting. We've been waiting for this for quite some time. For those of us that have been using other web browsers like Chrome and Safari, Firefox, give us a quick overview of what is new in IE9 and what we can expect from it.
Okay, so there's the polished professional marketing speak, and there's just the stuff that I've been using for the last week that have really turned me into an IE fan, right? A lot of it has got to do with the UI. So things like tabs, you can now tear tabs off and stick them. I've got three screens at home, and so you can stick tabs on multiple, anywhere you want to put them, basically, and you just tear them right off, and you can attach them to other instances of IE. And it's just this really nice, fluid way to manage tabs. The other is you'll notice that the actual UI has shrunk. So you no longer have all these toolbars everywhere. You can have those if you want, but I don't know how many pixels high the actual UI is, but we've collapsed the tab bar and the address bar. We've put the address bar together, so now it's just one address bar that's also a search box. But you'll see that the UI is kind of very minimalist, making it really fast. And the idea behind it, and this is one of the things that kind of came clear in my mind as I started using the beta a little while ago, it's that IE cares more about the site you're in than the browser that you're using. So, you know, the minimal kind of real estate on the browser is a really good example of that, right? Is that it's more about the content than the metal around it. You see some stuff around the ability to pin a site to Windows 7. So if you use the taskbar in Windows 7, you can drag a site onto the taskbar and just have it like it's an app.
There's a new term that I learned this morning, I must confess, jump lists. So that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we learned that many Windows 7 users love jump lists, right? So if you put something on your taskbar, you can right mouse click on it. And, you know, if you have Outlook there, for example, you can, you know, launch a new email. If you have Windows Media Player, you can, you know, change tracks. We've taken that and brought it to the web. So now you can put, so one of the sites that we showed this morning, you know, you could drag it down to the taskbar and then be able to play music from your taskbar on a website, but it feels like it's a native, fast Windows app.
It's very exciting. And to clarify, for those of us that are still using XP, Microsoft are really wanting us to move towards the Windows 7 operating system. So we need to stick with IE8 for the time being if we're an XP user. Is that right?
So if you're an XP user, IE8's the recommended browser. IE9 beta is for Vista and for Windows 7. And largely the reason for that is not because we don't like XP users.
I wasn't going to mention that middle operating system. It's the one that we dare not speak its name, but that's okay. Yes, you said the Vista word.
I said the Vista word. So one of the really compelling things about IE, and I think one of the taglines that you'll hear is the beauty of the web. And as corny as that kind of sounds, IE brings hardware acceleration to the game, right? So when you visit a site with 1,000 thumbnails of images, or you're rendering video, or you're animating a whole bunch of stuff together to build a really nice, compelling UI, doing that pre-IE9 is actually kind of hard because all that stuff is happening in CPU. What we've done is bring that to the GPU. So we've offset all of the graphics processing to be more like a native app, right, where you have the GPU taking care of all of that acceleration for you. And to get that acceleration, we're actually tapping into Direct 2D. And Direct 2D is only available on Vista and on Windows 7.
There are a couple of good test sites that you showed us this morning. One of them was ietestdrive.com. Just tell us a little bit about that.
So ietestdrive.com is a site we launched in March, I believe, which shows off what's possible with a hardware-accelerated rendering engine and a very standards-compliant-based rendering engine. We've got HTML5 in there, CSS3. You know, we support Canvas. We support all these new modern standards. IE Test Drive is about showing off what that can mean to you when you build a site. So you'll see the more popular tests are the performance tests where, you know, you click on them and you can actually see, you know, 500, 1,000 fish swimming around the screen, all discrete little items that are animated around using JavaScript that you can really see what happens when you hardware accelerate a browser. I'd recommend going to IE Test Drive to compare, to have a look and to compare with your current browser, but also don't just go to IE Test Drive. Go to other sites that you use that kind of need a lot of grunt, play a lot of video, and just play them in IE and see what the experience is like.
Right, we're all going to go back to the office now and download IE9 Beta. So importantly, where do we go to download it?
Beautyoftheweb.com is the place to go to not only download, but also look at what others have been doing. I didn't count them this morning, but there's Facebook, there's a whole bunch of major Twitter, a lot of major sites there that are showcasing the work that they're doing to make sure when you show up with IE, you get an advanced, superior experience. So beautyoftheweb.com is the place to be.
Michael, thank you very much for having us here today and for giving us a terrific seminar and a great overview of the new Internet Explorer 9. We're all very excited about it and looking forward to using it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
The following is a recording of Michael Cordai's presentation to technology journalists earlier in the morning.
As we were kind of preparing for today, we uncovered some stats, and I thought I'd start with a bit of a quiz of stuff that I thought was actually interesting, which kind of will lead us into 90% of what we're going to do today is actually just demo and show you what I think is cool about IE9. But I thought some of these stats that I'd found would kind of frame why IE9 is kind of important to Microsoft and why I think it's interesting. How many Windows users out there, you reckon?
In the room, or?
In the world, on the planet?
A billion.
So I started asking this question in the office, and the average answer is a billion. You ask a Microsoft person, well, it's 1,347,628. So it's approximately a billion Windows users out there, right? And the best way to think about IE9 is we've actually built IE for those guys. We've built IE to make sure that Windows users get the best browsing experience that they can have. What percentage of their time is spent online, you reckon? Average Windows user. Oh, so this isn't the nerds in the room. Average, let's go per day. An hour a day? 57%. So the most popular thing that people do with Windows, an operating system, is actually surf the web. It's pretty cool. Amount of actions that the average user takes. So an action is closing a window, opening a new tab. If you've got a list of everything you could possibly do in a browser, it turns out most people only do about 12 of them. Right? So people don't do a lot of the things that we do as tech enthusiasts and as tech people. So things like opening favorites. Right? So this is all coming from telemetry data that we've collected from Windows users, right? People, from average mum and dad to people like us, it turns out that not that many people do things that we think they do. So things like opening favorites, right? I totally expected that number to be higher because I use favorites and I assume everyone else did, right? But a third of people use favorites. This one surprised me as well. Only a quarter of people actually use their home button. And as I was asking around the office this question, the most common response was, there's a home button. Most people don't even realize there's a home button. 15% of users control click. Now, that surprised me. How many control click in the room? Sorry, option click for the Mac users. Yeah. But most people don't. What surprised me is the amount of people that right mouse click, open a new tab. Very few people actually use control click. And this one, what percentage of people actually delete their browsing history? One?
Three.
Wow. Percentage. I had it at really high. Maybe it's just the things that I do online. I don't know.
What are you up to?
Well, only 7% of people delete their browsing history. In fact, most people don't even know you can or should delete your browsing history, to which I say yay for in-private browsing and incognito mode and all that sort of stuff. And then when you think about Windows itself, the amount of people that actually put stuff on their taskbar, so taskbar down the bottom, actually quite high. So 62% of users actually have used their taskbar down the bottom, right? An even larger percentage of people actually use the taskbar, right? So 67% of people pin something there, but 87% of people actually use their taskbar. So with that, I want to show you guys what we've done with 9. And there's a reason why I showed you all those stats, because it kind of all parlays into this idea that IE9 is built for the Windows user and is actually built with your site in mind and not your browser in mind, which sounds a bit ironic, but it will make sense in a second. So just to recap what Mel said, so for those paying attention, in March we released the platform preview of IE9. So this was the developer-centric, it's got no metal around the rendering engine, it's purely just the rendering engine.
showing off the stuff that we're going to do with IE9, right? And there was two reasons for it. One was to start to seed the market so that people could understand how their site's going to render. Two, to get feedback, right? Purely on the rendering engine, mostly from developers. So we've released a new instance of that every 4 weeks since March. So we're just about to close off four. So four's out. And it's been quite successful, right? We've had a lot of feedback and a lot of people talk about the rendering engine, specifically the idea that it's actually hardware accelerated. Today, we're actually releasing the beta of the actual metal, what everyone else is going to be using. That's the end of my slides, but I want to kind of just highlight these four things as we go through the demos, that these four themes that you'll see throughout pretty much all of the demos. And that's, you're going to see standards everywhere. You're going to see HTML5, you're going to see CSS3, you're going to see Canvas, you're going to see HTML video, you're going to see stuff that you expect from a modern browser. You're going to see this notion that surfing the web is more about the site that you're in and not the browser that you use, which is kind of strange since we're here talking about IE, we're talking about a browser. But one of the powerful things that IE9 is bringing to the table is it's kind of removing the browser out of the equation. Because if you ask what most people want from their browser, the answer is always, I want to go to my site, right? I want to surf the web. I actually don't care that much about the browser itself, right? So the idea is IE brings your site to the forefront and not necessarily the browser, which kind of sounds strange, right? Speed and safety. We did a lot of work around safety and security in IE8. Not a truckload has changed. But we're continuing to make sure IE is the safest browser around, and I'll show you some of those features. And also speed, right? When you're on the web, both from the UI in the browser to rendering speed of the browser, you'll see speed. So keep those four things in mind, and let us demo. So have you guys seen at all the Chrome on IE9? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, meet IE9. Yay! This is when everyone rapturous applaud. And
I can't believe none of you got up at 3 a.m. when we released the thing. Just me.
Yes. So this is what the UI looks like in IE9. First thing you'll notice is how minimalistic it is. Again, it's more about the content inside than the actual metal around the content. So you'll definitely see the collapsed menu bar there, right? So you don't actually have all those additional menus. Do you remember when a benchmark about 5 or 6 years ago for a good browser was as simple as how tall the toolbar is at the top? And then Chrome came out and theirs was really thin. And Firefox tried to make theirs thinner. It's a pretty stupid measurement, but it is a measurement, so I'm gonna compare browsers. So there's Chrome with this really nice, slick, thin middle at the top. So thinner. Yay. Firefox beta 6. Yay. But the idea is that it's more about the site and less about the metal around it. If you really, really want all that stuff back, you can go and, you know, add all that stuff back. But we actually think most people don't want to use half of those features, right? We probably might enable them. But I've been using IE now. I've been using this build for just about a week, and I've not felt the need to actually re-enable all my bars and all my stuff. I quite like the idea that it's now more about the site experience than the browser experience. So you'll notice also there's a collapsed. There aren't two boxes, and you're ready for the feature name. There's one box. This is one box. So the search box and the address bar have kind of collapsed into one. So you want to do a search, you can just type in, a search, and you start to get suggestions in the address bar. You also get, visual search, so you actually get images inside of that as well. If you do things like, you'll actually get the weather in Melbourne. Inside the address bar. You can always hit enter and just do a search. You can also always just switch search engines, and same as with IE8, you can actually add more search engines and have different search providers.
You get all that widgets in that bar if you're
on
Google?
Yes. So the Google search provider looks like this. Actually, no, it doesn't. It looks like this. So it's based on the open search spec. So anybody can implement it. And Google's looks roughly the same. So if we type in there's your suggestions. Google, I don't think, implements the visual component, the icons. eBay does. It's up to the person building the provider. When you hit add, you basically get an option to just go and install whichever one you want. So the collapsed address bar, all-in-one address bar. And the interesting thing about this is the reason why we thought it was important to make it one bar instead of two is it resembles the Windows experience. Right? Windows users also, based on telemetry data that we collect from Windows users, probably one of the most loved features of Windows 7 is the fact that you get one search box down the bottom, and when you want to open up, you know, Word, you just type it in there. Or you want an email from James Bannon. There's James Bannon's email and contact details. So Windows users love the idea of just one search box, and we've kind of brought that to the browser. Tabs. So, you know, when Firefox took over, I reckon one of the reasons why Firefox took over in the day was tabs, right? It was the first browser to have tab browsing. Tabs have come a long way as well since then. I want to show you what we've done with IE and tabs. And the first thing is when you create a new tab, you actually get, you know, your most popular visited sites. So you get a ranking of the sites that you like most and how often you visit them so that you can actually very quickly jump to the sites that you want to visit. So I can go to Facebook there. I can go to the best blog in the world. Sorry, SitePoint. I can go to... Ooh, what's that? No. I can go to Bing. And very quickly start to open up new tabs. If we dock that to the left there, so this is just Windows Snap, you can actually tear tabs off. So we can just tear that off and dock it to the right. And if I want to put Bing in there with my blog there, we can just drop it. You can have as many of these as you want, so we can tear Facebook off and make it separate. Much better demo when you've... Let's not look at my Facebook. much better demo when you're at my place and you've got three screens going on and you want to tear stuff and put it on screen to screen. The fact that you could just like drag them and dock them wherever you want to dock them is actually quite compelling, right? So tabs, I think, have come a long way, particularly for IE9. And the fact that you don't actually reload a page when you drop a tab anywhere, right? It just literally drops the tab where it belongs. Another pop quiz. What do we reckon the colours mean? No. So it took me about 4 days to figure out what those colours mean.
The colour of the
booyah. Booyah. Right, so the... did I just say booyah?
Yes.
I
think
I did. Twice. So the colours are actually aligned with the site, and that's kind of... You'll see that come into play a little bit later on in the demo. The fact that, you know, new tabs, you can start to work with tabs far more like a native app, right? Far more like a Windows app that tabs just exist as if they were Windows. I want to show you the other thing around the UI that I thought was quite cool, and that's the notification bar, right? So let's do a download. So let's go downloads. Maybe someone's been downloading Firefox. Was I? Was KeepFit up there?
It's very insightful seeing your own PC demo, which isn't even you a clean PC.
Let's go start to download something.
You should. Does that box get smaller as you add tabs across it?
No. Let's find out. No, I don't think it does. So it's new tab, new tab, new tab, new tab. No. So you notice also the colour grouping, by the way. So I control clicked on something from this site, and then it changed the colour to a consistent colour amongst all of them, so I can tell what's related to what. Let's go and download something. I'm going to download a demo to Age of Empires, and I'll control click that and control click that. So we're going to start a download, and you'll see the notification bar appear, right? So you see this bar down the bottom. Yep, so with previous versions of IE and some other browsers, you get this big pop-up box that says, what do you want to do with this file? Do you want to save it? Do you want to run it? What do you want to do with it? We've introduced a notification bar, which just sits there at the bottom. You can continue along your merry way and do other things, and then action it when you want to action it, right? The idea is that it's discrete, right? That it's more about the site that you're on and the experience that you're having within the site that you're on than a bunch of pop-ups telling you to do stuff, right? So they discreetly appear in the notification bar. Well, let's actually save that.
Michael.
Yep.
So
yep.
Had an instance that fires for whatever reason, your download was still okay.
Yep.
If you have a new leak or an app crash in this version, is that going to be downloaded on Federal as well?
No. So it opens it up as a separate instance, just as it did in i8. So we'll start another download. And we're going to... Notification bar is going to appear again. We're going to hit save. And this time I'll actually open up our download manager. So now you'll see we've actually got a download manager. So I can pause Age of Empires 1 and start to give priority to Age of Empires 3 over there. I can... see, I have been downloading the beta of 6. You can cancel downloads, you know, clear the list. A pretty respectable looking, you know, download manager. I'll actually pause all of these because my 3G build might not look pretty when it's all said and done. But the idea is that we've got a subtle way of notifying you of things, right? And you'll see the notification bar appear several times throughout this demo, that you very rarely see a box that pops up and interrupts your browsing experience. It's actually more about the site that you're on than the browser that you're in. So that's the UI, and that's what it looks like. This is what, you know, everyone's going to be. This is what everyone can download today. If you go to beautyoftheweb.com, we've launched a site today that gives everybody the opportunity to download IE9 in beta. It's actually quite a polished beta. I've been running it for about a week. It's you know, in the modern era of what a beta means, it's actually quite polished and feature rich. I've yet to see it crash on me, so we're recommending it for tech enthusiasts and people who are okay installing new software on their PC. But that's the UI. I want to touch on speed. So one of the things we did with the rendering engine is actually hardware accelerate it. So there's an awesome site called ietestdrive.com that's actually been out for a little while, and it demonstrates some of the speed capabilities of the rendering engine. I'll fire up actually the fish tank, because I like the fish tank. So this is HTML5, this is JavaScript, there's no plugins in what you're about to see. No magic was used in this demo. It's Canvas, so it's again HTML5 spec. Each one of those flapping fish is a CSS sprite. So we're actually just, it's like a 2 meg PNG file that's making all that happen. And each one of those is a CSS sprite. I'm going to up the amount of fish on my demo here. And we've got, how many? 250 fish swimming. You've not been able to do this in a browser up until the modern generation of hardware-accelerated browsing, right? We've got 250 fish swimming at 60 frames a second. Should we crank that up to 500? So we're on an Envy. This is an OK machine. It's got a dedicated graphics ATI card, but it's not, by no stretch of the imagination, a hardcore GPU on there. But we're getting that kind of performance from a web page rendering 500 things on a that are animated and they're running on a JavaScript timer. So you can't do a speed demo without comparing browsers. So keep in your minds 39, 40, 39, let's keep it, say 39, 39 frames per second. And we'll close that off and we'll do it in another browser. What other browser should we do it in?
Chrome.
Cool. So I've got, I believe, the latest build of Chrome. Yeah, relatively late. No, there's a newer build. There you go. That probably, it's only a couple of days old, right? That release of Chrome? I don't know. It's a very recent build of Chrome, and it's the current beta. I'm going to drop that demo into there, and we're going to run our fish. What did we do? 39 frames a second, 500 fish. Let's build our way up there, shall we? Okay, that's not happening. So that's the current Chrome experience. For those techie enough, you can hack Chrome to actually start to modify that, but this is the experience that most people get when they have Chrome running. And if you look at the source of this, it's just JavaScript, jQuery, CSS, Canvas. There's nothing special about the demo. Let's do it in Firefox, because they've actually done a much better job of hardware accelerating Firefox, particularly the latest beta. So that's Firefox. This is the latest beta build. Let's drop it into Firefox. And we had like 39, 40 frames a second at 500 fish. So let's get a 500. rubbish. So it's good. We're going to hit 40.
No, 32.
So speed test wise, and I'd encourage you to run your own tests and compare them yourselves, and not just use our benchmark. But I found this consistently amongst all the sites that I went to, that roughly about this percentage of difference in the rendering engines. I'll show you another demo that I thought made it all make sense for me, and that's the Flickr demo. Where are you? Flickr demo. Flickr Explorer. So when we talk about, you know, taglines like the beauty of the web and hardware acceleration is important and it's all cool and, you know, having fish swimming around is one thing, but I don't necessarily as a developer see the connection between fish swimming around and what it really means for the users of a regular website. And when I saw this, it kind of all started to make sense to me. As a web developer, you've kind of been nervous about putting this many images on a page at one time, right? Up until now. When you want to design a site that shows off, you know, a couple of hundred images, what we've regressed to in the web developer world is, you know, thumbnail strips. So when you click on a thumbnail, you get a nice big image of that thumbnail, right? Of that image, right? We've done that because no matter how big our dreams are as web developers, we always have to remember the capabilities of the rendering engines and how fast, you know, our users are going to be able to experience the UI, right? So we've kind of scaled back. If you think about the experience you have in an operating system like Windows or a Mac, you don't even think twice about showing 100 thumbnails, right? You just show 100 thumbnails in a thumbnail view and it's all good, right? Why? Because it's closer to the metal, right? Because you've got resources on your... I saw a really cute kind of tagline for IE9 that it's a bit corny, but I kind of liked it, that you know, your browser today uses roughly 10% of your computing power, right? It just sits there churning up CPU cycles. IE9, you ready? Unleashes the other 90%, right? But that idea kind of resonated with me, right? Is that you've got these machines with GPUs in them, so that you can start to go and build things that have, you know, this many images, and that you can zoom into them and have this kind of fluid UI in there, and then you can zoom into an image and zoom back out, and you could start to kind of build experiences like this, where you're not worried about whether the local CPU can handle the load, right? And to me, this is a very real scenario when you look at images, right? And it resembles that that you have of a that you expect in an operating system, right? I'll show you one more demo that I liked when I saw yesterday, and that's one of the launch demos that they showed in San Fran this morning. So again, around the idea of images, you kind of today, if you wanted to do an experience like this, you shy away from it. You might put it in a plugin, you might put it in Silverlight, you might put it in Flash. But you know, when you're going to build a loading screen, damn it, you should do it in standards. Come on, there you go. So this is a comic viewer, right? That actually is performing quite well, and this is all native to a browser, right? We're looking at this. It's all Canvas, it's all HTML5, and it's all powered by JavaScript, right? But being able to have this kind of graphics experience on a site is the realm of reality today, right? When you've hardware accelerated, and you know, so we've talked about performance, and a lot of discussion about performance in the last probably year has been centered around JavaScript, right? Browser performance has been, you know, when Google came out with V8. It was, you know, V8 this fast, and all the other JavaScript engines are this fast, and it's kind of a very naive way to look at what performance means in a web page, right? If you look at this, how much of this is really JavaScript kicking in, and how much of this is trying to render that kind of high quality image overlaying each other? So when we start talking about performance, we actually think more broadly about performance. I mean, if you want to do the JavaScript benchmarky test, this is kind of where we sit today. And if you can differentiate those pixels at the bottom, you know, four or five of those, then you've got better eyes than me. But today, JavaScript performance is on par, right? We've built a thing called the Chakra engine, which is what drives the JavaScript engine inside of IE. But the reality of what it means to have a really nice performing website is actually far more than just the JavaScript engine itself, right? There's a whole bunch of properties and attributes that make a site render fast. Things like layout, right? When you're rendering a whole bunch of stuff on a screen and you're laying it all out, how fast are you doing that? Which has got nothing to do with JavaScript. Marshalling, when you're talking from JavaScript to the DOM, how fast is that connection happening, right? This is less about the engine speed and more about an overall view of how performance should behave. And so I want to do a quick demo to show you IE9's performance in the real world, right? So this is kind of a real world scenario, right? I'm going to open up, I'm going to do the unthinkable, and I'm going to go to my Facebook. And I'm going to show you a new feature of IE9, which is the ability to dock stuff to your to pin stuff to your taskbar. So I'm going to drag that down, and I'm going to put Facebook in my taskbar, right? So I can actually close Facebook, and you'll see Facebook sitting on my taskbar. Yeah, let me put that just at the beginning there, because I'm going to do the same with Chrome. So who uses Chrome's create application feature? No. I can't believe the IE guy is the only guy that uses the Chrome's create application feature. All right, so Facebook gives you a... Say again, sorry?
I use Firefox.
Okay.
I'm doing my browsing on an iPad.
You're doing your browsing on an iPad?
Yes,
Can we have a discussion about that later? Because I can't do all my browsing on my iPad. We'll talk about that later. All right, so I'm going to put Facebook as a... yeah, but it's not just Flash. Don't hijack my demo, shush. All right. So we're going to do the same. And we've put Facebook on my taskbar as well. So let's launch Facebook, and there it is sitting on the left. I'll close that off. And there's IE. Let's just put that on the right-hand side there. So we're going to have IE appear on the right-hand side, and we're going to have Chrome appear on the left-hand side. I'm going to launch them together, yeah? And this is a real world what performance means to people like my mum, right? That's what, when she thinks performance, she just goes, I want to get to Facebook. How fast can I get there? That's performance. So I'm going to launch them together. Chrome on the left, IE on the right. I know IE was really fast, so I'll do it again. So take numbers aside and whether we're milliseconds faster or slower than Chrome or Firefox, this is what my mum sees, right? When my mum launches her browser and wants to go to Facebook, this is what she sees. And there's truckloads of stuff that makes performance like this. And it's not just your JavaScript engine. It's the plugins you have. It's managing those plugins. It's the way all the elements on the screen talk to each other. It's how fast the rendering engine can actually talk to the GPU and render out your DOM. But that is real world. I'll show it one more time because I just think it's so cool. That is real world, right? And I'd be interested to do it in Firefox and see what the equivalent is. But that's what my mum thinks about when she thinks about performance, right? And I'd encourage you to do the same with whatever browser you use today and just load pages and see just overall what your page performs like. I talked about one of the main... Stop, you're all reading. I can see when Facebook's up there, you're like... friend me and you'll find out. So the other thing, and anyone who's had to troubleshoot, you know, anybody's browsing experience has always, the first thing you do is actually look at plugins, right? Whenever anybody says to you, my browser is slow or it's not working, it's rarely the actual browser. I don't care which browser you use. It's rarely the browser. It's the plugins that they've added to the top. So I'll show you a feature that surprised me the first time I ran this, because I was loaded up with plugins when I first installed the beta of IE9. Let's go to my add-on center here. And you can actually see that you get the load time of each one of these plugins, right? And it tells you how long each plugin takes to load. I'm going to enable a plugin that I've actually been using for years, which is Delicious. So for those who don't use Delicious, it's a social bookmarking site. So you can bookmark out onto Yahoo servers, and you can share it with your friends. But Delicious is a plugin for IE, right? It's a plugin that's for all browsers. But I've enabled Delicious. Now I'm going to open up IE again. And you notice what happened right down the bottom there, right? Again, a very discreet, subtle notification saying, hey, dude, just want to let you know, your browser launched a bit slower than it did last time. Do you want to know why? And I care because I want my browser to launch as fast as possible every time. So I could ignore it and just close it away, but I'm actually going to go disable add-ons. And it's telling me what took so long to load, right? Now, in this instance, it's actually not that long. But think about all the add-ins that you run and how much they actually take to load. They're 90% of the reason why your browser loads really slowly, right? Because it's loaded up with plugins and toolbars and add-ins, right? This gives you the ability... Actually, no, Silverlight doesn't show up. Don't be dissing my Silverlight, dude.
you try the security blog and the event format things that you do.
All right, we'll have a chat later. But I mean, you could keep all these enabled, right? The idea isn't that we want to shut down all your plugins. The idea is we want you to know why your performance may be impaired, right? In my instance, I actually leave Delicious running because I love Delicious and I use it all the time. 0.2 of a second, I can live with that as a penalty, right? We'll disable it just for the demo, and now when I launch IE again, I won't get the same notification telling me that things are a bit slow. Right, last thing I want to show you is you know how we talked about the taskbar and how 87% of Windows users actually use their taskbar. 67% of them actually dock stuff to the taskbar. I don't think dock's the right word, is it? We don't use the word dock. Pin, there we go. Pin stuff to their taskbar. So it turns out when your average user, actually not even your average user, I've noticed, want to use a site a lot, I've been using the Chrome feature for quite a while, right? I'm pinning it to my taskbar, right? So what we've done is take it up a notch and started to think about how do you make, again, more site-centric rather than browser-centric. So we've actually lucky to have a couple of local Aussie websites who've gone, this is pretty cool. We've given them a very small, very sneak peek of where IE9 was going. And a few Aussie websites have actually gone and implemented some features that allow you to dock pin to the taskbar. And one of them is domain.
Very impossible to script,
Docking stuff to the pin. So here's domain. I'm gonna do what we did before, and I'm actually gonna pin it to my taskbar. So it's reloaded, it's actually pinned to my I might close that. So first thing that you notice, a nice 32x32 pixel fav icon. Right, so for those who know what a fav icon is, it's the little icon on the top of your near your address in your address bar. Up until now, they've been 16x16 pixel little icons because that's all you've needed. Fav icons actually, icon files are actually in Windows or on a Mac. They have multiple resolutions inside them. What we've done is actually pulled out the 32x32 pixel version, so it actually looks quite good. We've also been able to right mouse click and actually use jump lists. Right, so for those who don't use jump lists. Here's a jump list for Outlook. So I can very quickly go and just go straight to my email. Jump list for Media Player. Let's not look at my previous watched videos. Jump list for Media Player. But it turns out 67% of people like the idea that they can get to where they want really quickly, right? So now we've got domain. It almost looks like an app as part of our OS and not just a website that you have to go to, right? So we're going to right mouse click and actually jump into Properties for Sale. And we've gone straight to Properties for Sale. We're going to search for something in Surrey Hills. Oh, really? We can do that. You want to do that? EY?
Yeah.
Melbourne. So we've done a search for Surrey Hills, and we're still right. The reason we use domain is because we want to find property, right? So we're going to close that off, and we'll right mouse click on our taskbar again, and those previous searches are actually there, right? The same as quickly there you go. Windows Media Player is there, and my previous played files are there. This is a website. It's very quickly feeling like this isn't a thing that sits within a browser. This is actually a thing that feels like it's part of my OS, right? It's part of the things that I do every day. That's 50% of your time that's spent browsing the web while you're in Windows. It doesn't feel like you're browsing the web anymore, right? Site-centric, not browser-centric. I'll show you one more really quick demo. For those who are interested, the list of sites that have started to implement this, even though IE came out today... the list of sites that have implemented it has actually been quite phenomenal. So Since we're using Facebook, Facebook's a really good example. This morning, just because I wanted to, I dragged Facebook and put it on my... So I dragged Facebook, put it on my my taskbar, and right mouse click, and there I can jump straight to my favorite things I do in Facebook. I noticed Twitter this morning as well. So if I go to Twitter... Does anybody actually go to twitter.com anymore?
Yeah.
Or you use a client? Really? Okay.
At least you
got the old Twitter website?
They're doing a new site.
Oh, okay. They haven't sent me a copy yet. Okay. So, so right mouse click, and there I can create a new tweet. I could do stuff, right? Bring in Twitter closer to me. The thing that I promised I wouldn't get too devy and too technical, but I wanted to show you the reason why we're seeing a lot of these happen really quickly is when I right mouse click here, and I see news, messages, events, and friends. To make that happen, it's these three lines of code, right? There's news, messages, events, friends. There's the icon for it, and done, right? Any site, and as long as you change your fav icon to also support that 32x32 pixel fav icon, you can instantly get this, right? The other thing you're seeing that's a little bit more advanced is you see the icon there, the actual Facebook icon. It's got a little star. It's actually telling me there's some new activity on the site. Right. What's happening is when the site launches, it's called site mode. When I launch the site from within my taskbar, it can start to interrogate my taskbar using JavaScript. And what they're doing is actually just running anytime there's a new event happening inside of Facebook, there's a little bit of JavaScript that actually tells it to use a new icon down here. You'll also notice that the other really nice cool thing is this. So that's zero lines of code. What they've done is actually just, what IE does is when you launch it in site mode, in other words, when you launch it from your taskbar, it picks automatically the accent color off your fav icon. And it goes, okay, this looks green. So I'm going to, so if you pop up another one, I don't know, let's just pick a random site.
Shameless self-promotion.
Oh, you know.
I was going to say Django because the music integration.
Django is good. Okay, we'll do Django. So we'll drop that. Right after my site.
Okay.
And again,
it's
picked the accent colours off the top there, right? And again, you'll see the whole 32x32 pixel, and you can jump to different parts of the site. Django's done something really interesting that I think is very cool. So Django, do we know Django? No? So Django is is like SigPod, is like Grooveshark, it's like Pandora if you have an American IP address. It's the ability to play music online inside your browser, right? So we're going to play some music. What should we play? Pearl Jam? We should have done some Metallica. Yeah, right. Audience participation over. So we're going to grab Django. Actually, I might pin Django to my taskbar there. Close it off. So now Django's sitting on my taskbar. Right mouse click. It's actually remembered the fact that I was listening to Pearl Jam. And I can go straight from my taskbar and launch Django and launch Pearl Jam, right? So I actually use Grooveshark all day, every day, and that's how I listen to music these days. But the problem with Grooveshark and the problem with having it in a browser is that if you want to go do something, like change tracks, you kind of have to, you know, restore your browser back up. You have to restore your browser back up and click next and all that sort of stuff, right? Unlike the experience you have with Media Player, which is, you know, I'm playing music, I can hover over and go next track, previous track, right? So really quick access to the features of Media Player. Well, Django's done the same. I can actually go next and previous. So if I hit that, it actually goes via JavaScript to the site while the site's running in the background and lets me go to next and previous, which is pretty cool, right? So
this all has to be added in on the server side, obviously.
Yeah, client side. It's all JavaScript.
Okay.
So the Django one, I think, is probably easier to read to the untrained eye. But Django... There we go.
So what is it sending to the server?
It's just JavaScript. So what it's doing is it's automating that player, right?
Yeah.
So there's I won't be able to find it and still look professional at the same time. Because it's just professional, believe it or not. So when that play button gets pressed or the next button gets pressed, it's basically, you know, an image, JavaScript, hit next, send it off to the server and do whatever it does, right? All they've done is made that call using JavaScript again, but they've tied an event to it, so when I do hit next, it actually just goes, yeah, it's just changing song up there. When I do hit next, it just calls the same JavaScript function that changes music on the client side.
So it has to learn.
No. Your site has to implement it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It's not automagic. No. Okay. Your site has to implement it.
It's not like you're watching the script.
No. And the way Django's done it is up here. Where are we? There you go. So if it's in site mode, in other words, if IE9's visiting and it's launched from the taskbar, then do a whole bunch of stuff. Right? So there's the, you know, we're adding the buttons and all that sort of stuff at that point, right? But I won't get too dirty on you. I don't know. That's IE9. I don't know. We can stay here as long as you guys want. Questions? I'm sure there are questions. I didn't leave much room for questions while I was yappity-yappying. So what's on everyone's mind?
Firefox.
Apart from being in awe, of course.
Firefox.
Because
there are now 1 billion users.
We only want 1 billion users. IE is about making browsing better for Windows users. Really simple. You if you're on a Mac and you want to surf the web, install Camino. Is Camino still around?
Yeah.
Yeah, install Camino. Use Firefox. Use Safari.
Mm-hmm.
Our target is to make sure Windows users get the best browsing experience, right?
There's going to be a new version of Office on the Mac, so this isn't going to be accompanying it, kind of making sure that continuous experience.
There's no plan to put Safari Windows for users happy, are they?
Both of them.
Yeah. Both of them. Oh, okay.
That's interesting.
So if I was given the choice, right, a year ago when we went, let's do IE9, if I was given the choice, make a browser that works across Macs and PCs or on Linux, or do something that's truly innovative, but it's going to just work on Windows. I prefer to do something that's truly innovative, right? I prefer to do something that, you know, that puts stuff on your taskbar. I prefer to do stuff that's purely, you know, that renders so fast, right? That to me is a far more important thing to do than, you know, go to the Mac where there's plenty of browsers already. I haven't heard anyone yell out telling me they hate their Firefox on a Mac. I would prefer to make sure we change the game and do stuff that's game changing by changing the game. But
I think what was interesting to us when we looked at developing it, when the telemetry data showed that 57% of a Windows user's time on their PC, so they buy a Windows 7 PC, and nearly 60% of their time is in their browser, we wanted to give them a great browser on Windows to really complement what they're doing every day. So that was really our case for change ourselves. So I'm going to get back in the game with the browser and make a great version of IE for Windows users. It's modern hardware and accelerating with the GPU. Very focused on it being a Windows.
As opposed to the 12 cores and the mini Mac Pros and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Tell me, one of the... you sort of talked passingly about plugins because you've got this sort of performance monitoring thing that's happening. And the fact that you've gone to largely open standards with HTML5, CSS, whatever number we're up to this year, and yada, yada, yada. What's the... Do you start to see, and obviously you've got your investment in Silverlight, and Silverlight seems to be reasonably popular, popping up large plugs. Are we starting to really see the end of Flash? Is this the big, I mean, it's clearly still very popular, but are we at the beginning of the end?
So, those who know me as the Silverlight guy from way back when.
Sure.
So before you kill Silverlight, I want to show you some
of
the stats.
I'm actually thinking, is Flash the one that's actually disappearing?
Okay, so the way I see it is they don't compete with each other, right? It's not you people like to make everything versus.
No, I don't think you're competing with Silverlight compete with Flash. I think
they actually don't replace each other either, right? So it's not like you have to use Silverlight because it's better than using open standards like Canvas. And I think the way it's always worked and the way it'll continue to work is standards are about standardizing on stuff, right? It's about everyone agreeing, not just Microsoft, but in the W3C, entire communities of people going, you know what? Video is a perfect example for me. Video on the web was Windows Media Player back in the day, RealPlayer before that. Flash came along and made video really popular on the web, and it drove demand to make video a first-class citizen in your browser. So W3C sits down and goes, you know what? Let's think about HTML5 and let's standardize on what video should behave like, right? So now we have a video tag, right? Which is awesome, and everybody should agree so that everyone's rendering experience, so that we have standard, and we won't go into why standards are important, right? The challenge for Silverlight and Flash is be what's next, right? What Flash did for video online, what Windows Media Player did for video online, what's the next thing, right? Is it viewing imagery at the original resolution, right? So you've seen the stuff that Silverlight does with DeepZoom, right? Putting a 20 megapixel image in its native original size and being able to view it in a browser is stuff that Silverlight's good at. Adaptive streaming in video, right? This is innovation that can happen because Silverlight's probably roughly once a year we release a new Silverlight. We're at Silverlight 4. It's probably been about 3 or 4 years. Because it's done within a small team inside of one company, you could start to iterate and flesh out the innovation bits, right? If everyone goes, you know what? Audio, that needs to be something we all standardize on. Well, okay, let's go. HTML6, HTML5, right? I think they complement each other, right? The thing that I love about it personally, being the guy that's a big fan of Silverlight, is what it does is it keeps Flash and Silverlight on their toes. What it does is say, you know what? You can't just do what the standards do. If you do that, then you have no purpose. There is no point to Silverlight or Flash if all it's going to do is play, you know, progressive download video player and that's it. It forces those guys, if they're going to remain relevant, to innovate, to do stuff that changes the game, right? To build, you know, 3D API so that you can treat 3D natively. That kind of stuff is sort of hard today natively in a browser. And I won't go into where Silverlight is going, but if those guys keep remaining ahead because they can, because they iterate so fast, then it's a good world, right? And you choose, right? When you go and build your site and you go, you know what, we've got this really important... I mean, smooth streaming is my favourite example. So for those who don't know smooth streaming, it's the ability to adjust the bitrate of a video while you play it. So you don't realise it as a user. But based on your bandwidth, you might go awesome, it might drop down, and you never really notice it. You'll see the quality decrease and increase, right? The reason why the biggest streaming events, the reason why YouTube just took on adaptive streaming, right, is because Flash and Silverlight kind of went, let's change the game when it comes to video, right? The fact that those guys are going to continue to push the envelope to stay relevant, and then whatever sticks and whatever people think is really relevant and they need, like video, becomes a standard. And the cycle of life continues, and if you're old enough to, you know, to see this stuff happen over and over again throughout history, right?
Sure.
I think it's easy to go one versus the other when they're really, they complement each other. And in a lot of ways, it's survival of the fittest, right? If you're not innovating and no one sees relevance in... And, you know, being the Silverlight guy for so long, I never recommend Silverlight. I just talk about what Silverlight does. And if the NBC Olympics go, that kind of makes sense for us because we need that kind of quality of... Then they go and do it. And if they don't and they want to use HTML5 video, then they go and do it. It's not... The products, the technologies, no matter how many marketing people get in the conversation, ultimately, a good product speaks for itself, right? I think IE9, you look at the momentum around IE9 this morning, and we've been kind of following it closely. Largely, the conversation on Twitter and Facebook and in the social space is not the Microsoft marketing dude going, oh, it's great, it's got clean features and it's fast. It's everyone else has picked it up. If they all hate it, if you guys go home and you hate it, it's done. And I think the same applies for things like Silverlight, Flash and HTML5. Very, very long.
Michael, you're talking about your mum before. Your mum's like my mum, she uses XP. There's another operating system in there somewhere between Windows XP and Windows 7 too, but what's the backward compatibility like?
For XP?
What's the experience like for Windows IE9 on for XP users?
There isn't one. So XP, our recommendation is to continue to use IE8. A lot of the stuff you see, so the direct 2D stuff, the hardware acceleration, is all based on direct 2D. which doesn't exist in XP. So the jump lists are not an XP feature. So XP users stick with IE8. We continue to support it. We continue to support IE 6, right? Yeah. well, it's not. Hands up if you don't want IE 6 to be anywhere. Yes, our hand is higher than yours. Trust me, right? Thing to remember about IE 6. We'll get to IE 6 in a second. Thanks for your question, Michael. where is I haven't forgot your question.
XP.
Yeah. Right. There's just a lot. We'll continue to support IE8 on XP. It'll continue to be safe. It'll continue to be fast. But some of the innovation you're seeing happens because of the subsystems we got in Vista and Windows 7.
So are there things in 7 that it uses in Vista, or is everything uses in both?
Largely, it's roughly the same. The one thing that's not in Vista that I actually learned this morning is jump lists. Vista doesn't have jump lists, so you won't be able to do that in Vista. But in terms of performance, it's roughly about the same. It's all using the direct acceleration, direct 2D acceleration. IE6.
Enterprises love it?
No one likes it. Enterprises don't like it.
It's out there.
It's out there, but there's a certain reality to IE6, right? I don't have the numbers offhand, but look at IE6 a year ago. Look at IE6 2 years ago. The drop has been massive. So I deal with pretty much most of the major Australian websites. Some report 4-point-something% of users. Some report 7% of users.
So you're
in SitePoint reports. You're way lower than that.
Yeah.
So you guys are a good indicator, right? Hopefully. Well, no, you're a good indicator of what the web developers are thinking, right?
Yeah.
Actually, if anyone's visiting with IE6, you should just redirect them.
Please move to 2000.
Sorry, that's right. The 80s call, they want their browser back. So IE6, we continue to support it because we just can't in good conscience tell, you know, the big enterprises that have IE6 today, that have business apps that are built on it, that we're no longer going to support them, right? This is part of being a business, right? Do we think IE8 is a massive leap forward? Yes. Do we think IE9 is an even bigger leap forward? Yes. There are certain realities, and half of my life is spent in our big enterprise customers, the big banks and the big insurance companies, talking about how they can, you know, remove IE6 from their SOE, right? And there are some ways to do it. So in IE8 and 9, you had compatibility mode, so you can actually tell it to pretend it's IE6, which gets you about 80% of the way there, or it gets you there 80% of the time. And then there are just other things that don't work. But there is no single person who wants IE6 to thrive and be the browser of choice. There's just a certain responsibility that Microsoft has to make sure that people who still do use IE6 don't suffer as a result, right?
It's a bit ironic, isn't it? Because the web browser was originally designed to be the pinnacle of platform independence as a concept and something which you could just move between very easily. And what you've ended up with is all these large companies that are stranded in particular versions of IE and invested heavily in what is effectively a new platform, and now they can't get out of it. And you're talking about, what is it, 8-year-old technology? They can't move past it. How do you reconcile that with the idea of the open web and having the browsers?
I think that's good evidence for why we've gone so strong and supported. We could have easily gone, IE9 is the best Silverlight browser in the world. Mm-hmm. Very easily, right? It's far more important to us that guys like the SitePoint guys back there have a good, you know, when IE9 comes out, their site works and that their developers are like happy and that people are continuing to build and not having to worry about whether their browser still works. It's far more important that when everybody supports the same standards, you could start to innovate. Right? IE8 went a long way to fix that. That, you know, once you've made your site work in IE8, it won't break in IE9. Given us the opportunity to go and do stuff like jump lists and hardware acceleration. And the thing about IE6 that's interesting is, and I don't have the timelines off the top of my head, is think about the standards that existed or that were popular and in demand 8 years ago. Very different ballgame back then, right? Very different ballgame.
I hate to belabor the point, but Microsoft was the pioneer of browser lock-in. Netscape was actually pushing the standards barrel 15 years ago.
Right.
And it was that side of business that was trying to focus on the open standards. Is this, you know, a lot of the enterprise users that are invested in IE6 are now going to go, well, now you want to be open, but we're 3 versions behind
you. But
I agree, and I think this is good evidence of where the IE team's mind is, right?
I mean, they managed to turn that block of flats around.
You don't use MSM?
No, you said something about CSS3 at the start of the presentation.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to find out any more on, like, we've seen some CSS 2.1 like support in I9 for Gamma preview earlier in the year.
Yep.
What's
So, off the top of my head, I don't have a detailed view of it. There is a really good blog post on the IE9 blog, and I'll send it to you, that actually goes through in quite excruciating detail with CSS3 spec and where it's at, and where we are, and where Firefox is, and where Chrome is, and kind of the state of play. The demo we've been showing a lot is, you know, things like border radius, and how just that is interpreted differently by all the browsers, right? I won't open it, but I think... So there's a good detailed doc that
we'll get to. Something like web developer community probably don't care, specifically whether border radius is supported or not, just that it's going to be a subset on the track, because, you know, any time someone at some point is talking about it, it's that they're complaining about the lack of CSS support.
Okay.
So
I'd be interested in your take on... In your take on it and what your reader's take is on it, because it seems to me that we've done a pretty good job. But I'd love to reconcile that with where your readers, what your readers think. And there's detailed doco on the details. On it. Yeah. Okay.
Your billion Windows users out there is very evil-like, I guess. But also, if this is a browser product that only works in 7,
yep.
Is it working this way?
Yep.
Okay, so it's not 15 people. But largely, I mean, 7's your market. So you clearly don't have a billion with 7 users.
Yep.
Yeah. So IE9 is only really available to a
20%? 10 users per second is the rate of growth for. Yep. So by pointing out the amount of Windows users out there, I wasn't meaning to
so
imply.
This is your end game picture ish.
Is it the end game?
Well, you know,
I guess so. Yeah.
It's more like that's where you're targeting.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Because you're largely dependent on your Windows 7 deployments before you can get your IE9 numbers to be substantial. So when people go to SitePoint, if you're going to get lots of SitePoint IE9 visitors, you've got to wait through that whole cycle of IE7 over there. Your guys are probably already doing it, but you've already gone there. Yeah.
Well, no, it's about that. It's a specific question. What percentage of the install base will be able to run IE9?
The install base, so it's how many Windows and Windows, how many Vista and 7 users do we have? That many.
I mean, it was the fastest adoption we've ever had. But, you know, I think what's interesting is one of the key partner feedback we had was from OEM and device manufacturers who love this because they've been building modern hardware. And now, finally, the software development's catching up with what the PCs can do and the chips can do. So, I think it is this forward-looking view. And, you know, we really want, you know, as Mark said, people that are comfortable downloading software. So this is almost like a broad consumer beta for us. And we are working with our enterprises around testing their deployments of IE8, which will then get them to IE9. So we're on a journey, but we really want to encourage people to try this.
And that's actually a substantial difference in the world today, is that we used to throw software at it, like the hardware to catch up, whereas now the hardware's actually ahead of software, which is just about the first time.
Interesting way to look at it,
yeah. In the world of computers.
Yeah.
In the world of consumer computing. Yeah. It's the first time we've really been at that point.
Mm.
I think the other thing to consider is this idea of why upgrade, right? For the average user, it's like, okay, I want to upgrade my hardware. Why should I do it? And what is it that I do? I browse the web. So back to that point about you can really tell people that you can have a great browsing experience. It's about the sites you love, the speed of those sites. Mm. It actually drives a conversation where people actually have interest to move. I think that's better for the industry as well. It's definitely better for the OEMs and the software developers to bring the market with us. So it is about driving change, and that's this inflection point we're seeing, both hardware and software together, to drive those experiences for the average PC user.
What's the timetable for final release?
There isn't a final release date. As we did with the platform preview, the goal is to put it out there. We're not going to make radical changes to it. It's more around stability and uncovering issues when it gets to the broader world. But it'll be out when it's ready, basically.
So it'll be ported to the Xbox as well?
Well, it'll be ported to the Xbox. And we're here to announce today that the Xbox won't have IE9.
Well, it's a sort of not a total superfluous point because the idea of web on TV was something that people were pursuing pretty aggressively for a long time. Is that idea basically gone now?
No, I don't think web on TV is gone. I think I've been able to do web on TV on my media center for how long? It's not. I don't know. I'm bored with web on the TV. But I think web on TV. If you look at what's happening with web on TV, it's not browser on TV. It's very much. It's web technologies. So I've got a couple of really good mates who are actually working on a lot of the Samsung and the LG TVs, writing UI for them. Right. Those things are not browsers. Those things are JavaScript, CSS, HTML, used as languages and layout to make a TV UI.
Is that where Silverlight would play?
Possibly.
The committal answer. Not yet.
Possibly.
Well, I guess so.
We could really close out by the last.
Well, are you guys coming out tonight? Do you even know about tonight?
No.
Oh, we've got a community event tonight, a sweet up, a launch party, fun thing in the pub. It's like a 2-day notice. Come and have a beer with us and look at the product and have some fun. So it's at 7 o'clock at the
Colonial.
I'm not a Melbourne girl, but I hope that's a nice place for a drink tonight. From 7 o'clock, come along and see what some of the enthusiast community, and we just put it out there and a bit of a tweet up.
So, I don't know, that's it. You know what I might do?
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay won't be cooking at the Colonial, so just as a note to you all about your breakfast.
Do you guys follow me on Twitter?
Just another shameless plug.
No, I'm just about to tweet. I'm about to tweet the Doody Whacker. How did I learn to use... Oh, fuck that. Stop.
Hey, that was me. Hey.
Was it? Where?
Oh, yeah. Over there.
Where are you? I don't know what you're talking about. How can I see?
Yeah, so we're having some fun with the community tonight.
Launch.
It's because you're typing under pressure.
Yeah, if you follow me, my most recent tweet is details for tonight. Cool.
And by then we would have been able to see all that they cascaded all these demos at the event in San Francisco at 3 a.m. and all these new top secret partners. And so up on that beauty of the web, some really cool stuff.
Yeah, what's it doing in Hornsby? That's my neck of the woods.
Show that one you're showing with the ripple.
He's doing his 3G. He's doing the mobile 3G test for my tracker. So he's testing 3G stuff on public transport.
Come
all
on,
all around the East Coast. Cheers, mate. Have a good
one. Okay.
Yeah, this is the one I like.
Oh, yeah.
So again, this is all native. So I don't fully understand it, but it's a lot of album covers.
Nice.
And then you can click on more album covers. And then you can click on another album cover. Sup, bro?
Because I'm on the consumer side, as I said at the beginning, so Michael and I are kind of live in different web worlds, but what's cool about this from the general consumer perspective is this idea of the web gone native. Some of the research we did, and people said, look, when I'm on the web, it's about the content, so this idea of it's not about the frame, it's the picture. So think about that for broad consumer and why people want to try it. Actually, if you just, the sites you love, kind of brought to life in IE9, it's kind of what's cool. And this is like, we're used to this lowest common denominator of browsing, like a page shutters or text renders, video shutters, page load times. So that's actually, people kind of just don't expect that much from the web. They would never accept that from a native app to their PC on the client side. So we just want to shift that and say, raise your expectations for the web and really see where we can take it. So we're pretty excited for people to try it from today and get more feedback so when we get to final release, it's really what people want to do on their PCs.
In the page that comes up when you open a new tab, you mentioned some colours, but obviously the difference in the length of the colour bar?
Frequency.
Right,
So I've been using the main more and the drive less. And I probably should point out that in Australia, the light up stuff that you've seen, this stuff, as of today, and the thing's only been out for like, you know, since 4 o'clock this morning. Domain, drive, 9MSN, my career, my blog are all using it already. but it is actually surprising just how many, because it's so easy to do, how many sites have actually gone and implemented. How many sites have actually gone, and is there a link somewhere? I think there's a link somewhere. The list of experiences? Check that out, right?
Yeah.
And some not so insignificant names.
It might make people rethink their branding with their Fave icons too, to be really recognisable.
Yeah.
Well, the hardest amount, the most amount of effort was finding something that bloody.
And that is a reason to do it, I think. It's like, obviously, Facebook jumps out, but you look at some of these and you're like, what is that? Pixel, Amazon,
IMDb's got a. Well, IMDb is really adopting HTML5.
IMDb.
So there, this is all HTML5 video in H.264. Yeah,
that's good. That's it. Are they doing that over here with Spike
Kids?
Because he played this with a guy called Machine and Spike Kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm hanging to watch?
This is from Evergreen.
Despicable Me.
Okay.
That
yeah,
I'm going to
really
watch. But you know what? I was going to take. I got two little kids, and I went. I'm going to take all the kids and my wife. We're going to go to the movies. $80. Nah.
What size popcorn?
We'll wait for Tight Ass Tuesday or something.
We're going to see them in your places.
Really?
The Botanical Garden.
It's showing at the Botanical Garden.
When they have in summer, when they don't put it on.
When it's still down here.
This is outdoors.
At the garden, oh, right. It's great.
Okay. Well, it's because it's just come out. There's no the no free list thing.
They're regular tickets. It's just they're giving up part of the booking fee as a discount. You get
yeah.
The tickets that the news agent yeah.
Cool.
The ones near me had a thing where you book 10 tickets for $100.
That's all right.
I know how to say it. Several tickets.
Okay, this is not a great idea. We don't want blood and gore and guts.
Questions, thoughts, more coffee?
Coffee, yes. Sorry, just came back to the Australian stuff you picked up. So they just noticed it was there.
No.
Right.
So I gave them a sneak peek a couple of days ago. And that was it, basically. They went and built it, and they didn't even have a build, so they literally went. We think we did it right. Can you test? It was funny. Like, Domain actually made put it live. And then they emailed me and they said, can you check it? I'm like, you put it live without even testing it? Yeah, but what if someone shows up with any browser and they haven't tested whether it's in IE correctly and all of a sudden Firefox crashes?
They probably tested on all the other browsers they had,
yeah,
except on yours.
Well, it was IE9, right? Literally, we got a copy of it less than a week ago.
Yeah.
So, but
and
yeah.
Two copies, one for you and one for me.
Yeah. So you know, so that a couple of days ago they saw it and just went and built it and called us up and went. IE9? No.
No, but you can download it.
So beautyoftheweb.com is the place to go. Just download it.
But I should say because I know Catherine was, you know, busy putting things onto these keys. Is the press release a fact sheet and also a good embeddable video about the performance, which shows the side by side browsers, the fish demo, and what else?
Yes,
but high-res images and just stuff that you that can help you. We should have put the installer on, but that would have meant we had to get up at 4 a.m. when the bits went live.
But you were up anyway, weren't you?
Oh, well, yes, indeed. Yes. They told me that they were recording the San Fran event on demand, so when I got up a little later than 3, it wasn't ready, and I texted Ben, who's one of our guys who's over there at the event, and he goes, oh, I checked. They're just editing it for on demand, it's going to be 1 more hour, and then it was 1 more hour, and then it was 9 o'clock. So I have no idea what they showed. I promised Michael, oh, I'll be able to see what they showed in San Fran before our breakfast, but I haven't seen what they showed.
So this one I thought was the funniest demo. So you remember when Google had the whole potato gun thing? So we've built our own little potato gun and it fires potato gun out. This is all just JavaScript again. Just visualize just how fast that is. 60 frames a second, kind of lots of shit going on. How about we do this? Compare it to that.
You know, we're all skeptical when we go to Microsoft.com and looking at the benchmark for that.
No, so go for it, go nuts. I literally went and found truckloads of I use jQuery a lot, so I found truckloads of jQuery animation demos and tested them all, and roughly I get about the same kind of delta between them.
And to that point, the reason we did the from March onwards, every 8 weeks the rendering engine release on the platform preview, the call to action to develop web developers is test your sites, test your pages. You know, it wasn't about you looking at our demos, but we needed to make it real.
Sure.
And that's why today is a milestone, because now people can actually look at the sites they love and see how it looks versus the other browsers.
So good.